Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
The World Show with Nikki B.
Right now, I am about to introduce the woman you've all been waiting for. Welcome to the World Show, Zoe Modiga.
I am so honored to be here. I can't even explain. And I think the woman that have been chosen to just be a part of the show today speaks so highly and are inviting me so beautifully into this conversation with you.
Thank you so much. I tell you what, I'm so excited you've come. This isn't the first time or the first album where I actually wanted you on the show. I don't know why it's taken so long, but I'm so pleased you're with us, Zoe.
And thank you so much.
I've got to say again, Ingane Kwani, wow, what an album. I've got to give you a big bravo. I'm all alone here in the studio, but it's huge. You've blown us all away. So thank you for crossing over to us. But let's start a little bit at the beginning, since you haven't been on the World Show yet, and this is our first chapter of you coming. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how... When did you realize that music was going to be your journey, Zoe?
I'm so glad that this is a very beginning to a beautiful, or hopefully beautiful, journey with me and you, and I'm grateful to be here.
Definitely.
So I was raised by my beautiful grandparents, my grandmother and my grandfather. I was born in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal.
Yes.
And I was raised in Pietermaritzburg, eMbali, eOne.
Yes.
And the beautiful thing about that is that as much as I was raised by loving grandparents, it was also a whole entire community that was raising me as well. And the beautiful thing about growing up in Bali is that you'd listen to different neighbors, or family rather, playing different music at the same time. You'd always get one neighbor from one end playing gospel, one neighbor from the other and playing Maskandi,
yes.
One playing R&B, one playing... There was just like a myriad of music. And yes. I grew up to that melting pot of sound. And I really think that's where the beginning of love for music was informed, because it was always around people who had so many interesting tastes and whose memories were made to all this beautiful music.
Yes.
And I think to me, wanting to impact people in the same way became important very early on, just off of those endearing personal experiences.
So when did you discover that you had this beautiful voice, Zoe?
Oh man, I think the voice thing was also part of playing yes. and writing songs with some friends and neighbors and
yes.
and all of that. But as soon as I went to school, because I went to St. Nicholas Diocesan School, which was in town, and it exposed me to a lot of musical opportunities. There's this teacher called Mr. Ndlovu, who was my first music teacher, who stopped us as grade fours to sing Happy Birthday.
Yes.
And that was our way of auditioning for junior choir. So that was my first experience where someone outside of my friends at home said or noticed that I had a gift.
Yes.
And he was the person that gave me the first platform to lead songs in the junior choir. So that was, I suppose, the beginning.
Yes, it's always amazing to think of what one person, you know, a teacher can actually do to change one's... I've never sung again, because I think when I was in grade four, a teacher told me I couldn't sing, and since then I never ever sang again.
Oh my word!
There you go, you started singing on your first platform. But again, you know, I found another way to do it. So, you know, and as you were at school, Zoe, did you think this is the path I want to follow, or did that come gradually?
It's so difficult to kind of side the experience, because I think music was always a friend that was there. It was an innate thing. We sang in the kitchen while preparing food as family. We sang as kids in the neighborhood. It was just... It, so much a part of life that it almost feels that it decided for me rather than me making that executive decision that this is what I wanted to do.
Yes.
But it was the friend I grew up with, and it made sense. And by the time I suppose I got to finish my primary schooling, my aunt said, actually, Zoe needs to look into going into high school in an art school, because she seems to be working within that space.
Yes. You know?
So again, it was a lot of people acknowledging something that was really just natural to me, and it was a friend to me.
Yes.
And I always say music chose me more than me making that consecutive decision to be for it, and I'm honored.
Yes, well, I often think, you know, as artists, you are born as an artist. And it's almost like one doesn't have an option. If you don't do your art, then you are not well in some physically, mentally, whatever way. You know, it's definitely something that I believe is a calling, and that someone is born into. You're right. So often artists don't choose to be artists, but they are born into it. So then after school, Zoe, what did you do?
After school, I went to study a little bit of jazz at the music school in Cape Town.
Yes.
But I did not get to finish my studies there. I was actually kicked out.
Yes.
Because I was practically outstanding, but my theory did not translate, you know.
Yes.
And I feel I've always been the unorthodox learner.
Yes.
And I think even after that, life became the big learning, or the big story, when it comes to what informs music. And that's what life has been, just being inspired by the human experience and writing stories and telling people's stories and my own stories through music.
Yes, beautiful. Well, I want to hear more about this journey and about the making even of your previous album. But for now, let's play a song, and this one is already huge, Zoe. It's Incha. Tell us about this track.
Oh, I love Incha so much.
Me too. We all
Incha,
do.
Incha, thank you. Incha is a song that is namely translated youth. And the song really just acknowledges how the youth has been a part of watershed moments in any aspect of history. When we look at the big changes and the big revolutionary moments, they've been led by the youth. And I think right now, with the hashtag Black Lives Movement, with the femicides, gender-based violence, and all these conversations that we're getting into, it's kind of homage to the 1976 legacy and how we are part of it, because they gave birth to us. And it's just reminding young people that as much as we come from these great kings and queens who gave themselves for us and who sacrificed for us, we're here today to be still part of watershed moments today. And there's a part of the song that says, "Ay, asibasabi, siyabafuna," which is something that is really nostalgic to a lot of war cry songs. Yes. In wanting change.
Thank you so much. Zoe Modiga with us on The World Show. Her new album, Ngane Kwani, you've got to have it. I don't even know what songs we're going to play today, because I want to play all of them. But for now, let's hear this beautiful one. And I think, as you say, Zoe, it's so appropriate to our times. Incha on The World Show.
The World Show with Nikki B.
Kaya FM 95.9. Ah, incredible. I tell you what, I'm dancing here. No, you can't see me. Nobody can see me. But I promise you, Zoe, I'm dancing. Yes, amazing. So now, you know, you've moved up to Joburg. Is that right?
Ah, my little history with Joburg is a little complex.
Yes.
Because I was born and raised in KZN.
Yes.
But I came from a very nomadic family. And with obviously the career opportunities that my mom was seeking, she lived in Joburg and in other parts of the country while I was being raised by my grandparents. And we did move to Joburg at some point, but we also kept moving to a lot of spaces, you know, your Northwest, your Free States.
Yes.
A lot of areas within the countries.
Okay, so
but I suppose Joburg is a kind of home as well.
Yes, and I'm sure, like, also being a musician, I think most of the music industry happens in Joburg. So it's difficult to avoid in many ways. But, you know, along the way, Zoe, and the reason why I asked that is because along the way, you also started working with some very special musicians. And maybe you want to talk about a couple of those people that have made an impact on you know, on your working life.
Oh my goodness, I have been so blessed to work with so many different people. A lot of them are not celebrated and a lot of them are celebrated, and I've just enjoyed the stories and the different ways that have opened my world in the music space.
Yes.
And I think one collaboration that I can think of is the celebrated Grammy-winning Ladysmith Black Mamba.
Yes, absolutely.
And how that collaboration was happening is actually through The Voice South Africa, the first season.
Okay.
We got to perform with Ladysmith Black Mambazo.
Yes.
And we got to pretty much do a tribute to them, or for them, rather. And that's how that collaboration and the sharing of the stage happened. But
yes,
there were such gentlemen, even when we were backstage. I was so completely charmed by them, not just the legacy that stands on its own, but as a people. There was just such a beautiful camaraderie and a respect.
Yes.
It's as though you weren't sharing a room with people who have achieved so much and have contributed to our history.
Yes,
know?
And I think coming from KZN as well, that must have been very significant for you because of, you know, their roots of Ladysmith are, of course,
absolutely,
in KZN. So in many ways, even the Skatamia, it's the roots of it all in many ways.
Yes.
Yes. You know, in fact, I'm going to divert for a minute and come back to this Ngane Kwani, this new album. And what I want to ask you now, because I don't want to forget this. I find the imagery that you've used, the cover that you've chosen, and the imagery that you've used to present this project is also very significant for me. Tell me a little bit about what Ngane Kwani means and why you chose to work with this, what can I say, this, you know, blending your look with the cows, and why, you know, there's some images that come from you with the sea, other images that are coming with the cattle. And, you know, I love that, because it really does reflect what you're doing. But tell us about Ngane Kwani and the theme.
Ah, Nikki, I get so excited to really share the visual and the audio story with people, because I think I'm one of the artists that really like to marry that.
Yes.
And with my previous album, Yellow the Novel, everything was about yellow.
Yes.
And it was just the storyboard that was created. And I was so excited when we recorded this album to find a visual story. And just to explain Ngane Kwani means fairy tale in isiZulu, and it's basically the idea of folklore that teaches us lessons.
Yes.
And I thought it was such an important name for the album, because Ngane Kwani, the song from Yellow the Novel, is what opened me up to this new world of identity. When I would perform that song, a lot of people would liken it to memory and something that they endeared. And they would even throw names like the incredible Mambusi Mhlongo.
Yes.
Whom, surprisingly enough, I was not as familiar with at the time.
Okay.
And as I was listening to her, I was falling in love with her ideologies and the love that she had for her people and the storytelling using the language isiZulu. And that opened me up to myself.
Yes.
And wanting to think to the beginning. Because sometimes you think you find yourself outside of yourself. But I realized looking in became so important. Yes. And then with the visual story, I was thinking of my first idea of identity, and it is a very endearing personal story where I used to go and visit my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, and there was cattle there.
Yes.
And I would actually have this very weird moment where I would stare at the eyes of cows for long periods of time.
Yes.
And my grandmother would always look at me like I was a crazy little kid. Like, what is she doing? But nevertheless, she allowed me to do that.
Yes.
And I think I realized the significance of cattle very early on. And I'd grow up to realize that cattle is food, it's clothing, it's our idea of wealth and bartering.
Yes.
In the African culture, it's the idea of land, because you don't have cattle without having land.
Yes.
It's the idea of spiritual practices and us reaching into ourselves in that way and claiming ourselves in that way. So I spoke to Tatenda Chidora, who was the photographer,
yes,
and Neo Sarati, who was the designer, and Ntabiseng Mulelebeli, who was the stylist,
yes,
for this. And I just said to them, I want cows. I yes, think that's the new emblem for the album, and it's an all-encompassing thing about our wealth as a people.
Yes.
And thankfully, they are good friends and very talented human beings, and they were sold to the idea. And that's how that picture story happened.
Oh, amazing. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. And I also love, and this was the word I was looking for earlier, I love the juxtaposition of your contemporary styling that is kind of connected to the deep-rootedness of the visuals. And I think I could say that that is reflected in the music as well. In fact, let's play another track. This one is Umdali. And then when we come back, I want to speak more about, you touched on it now, about the element of storytelling, but tell us about Umdali.
Umdali is a very special song to me. I think one thing that I've always tried to do within these two albums that I've released is to find songs, or hopefully get inspiration for songs, that credit the higher power.
Yes.
And with this particular song, Umdali simply means creator. And the song goes to talk about how we were made in the image of the creator.
Yes.
And there were great purposes over our lives and the lives of those that came before us. And our mission is to grab the baton from those beautiful stories and purposes that come before us in order for us to lead in the ways that we should.
Yes.
So there is a lineage to this God-likeness. But that's basically Umdali in a nutshell.
But again, I love it because you draw on elements that are so deep, and yet you make them completely relevant in the contemporary world today. Thank you so much. We're speaking to Zoe Modiga. This one is Umdali, off her album. If you haven't got it now, you've got to go and get it straight after the show in Ngane Kwani on The World Show.
The World Show with Nikki B.
FM 95.9. It is so moving, so beautiful. Umdali. Zoe Modiga is with us. The album is Ngane Kwani. And before we move on, I've just got to say thanks to Vuyiswa, who wrote in and said, what a beautiful song. Zoe Modiga, it gives me goosebumps each time I listen to it. Thank you for having your Nikki B. Hashtag my album of the year. And I think there's a lot of people who are going to say that as well. Beautiful, Zoe, beautiful. Now, Zoe, when you released your debut solo, Yellow, what was it that inspired you at that time? What was that album driven by?
Oh, my goodness. I'd like to firstly say thank you for all the beautiful
words that everyone is speaking, it's always very encouraging and beautiful to hear, because as people that create, we don't have control over how people receive those creations.
Yes.
So I'm very grateful.
No, you are much loved.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Continue. I said you are much, much loved.
Thank you.
Yes.
So with Yellow the Novel, I was probably, 20 at the time that was recorded.
Yes.
I was fresh out of being kicked out of college. And honestly, it was a space of true disappointment, because I come from a very academic family.
Yes.
That has, thankfully enough, never wanted to kind of push this narrative that music is not as important as traditional careers. But I think for me, seeing how hardworking and dedicated people were in my family about their occupations, I wanted to give that same kind of respect.
Yes.
So when I felt like I was no longer able to be in that space, my young self had a bit of a point to prove. And in my mind, I was like, okay, this didn't work out, but I still have the voice. I've got a few tools that I've learned from being in college. And I am going to record and document myself exactly where I am right now.
Yes.
And the space that I was in was that of introspection and self-realization, and wanting to really just go into what expressing human life through art looks like.
Yes.
And with the idea of yellow being the color, it's my favorite color. So I wanted to really introduce myself into the music space as a recording artist in that purest way. And you'll see that with that album, there's actually 23 tracks. And that is also my favorite number. So there's a lot of little conversations within the body of work that kind of speak to who I am and what I think as a person, and really what we all go through as a people.
Yes.
So that was the beginning of what I think is going to be a very interesting journey.
Absolutely. Now, I found it amazing that you said that, because, yes, it for me very much was an album almost about your self-identity. And this one seems to be still about identity, but taking it to the next layer, if I can say it that way, you know. And for me that's significant, because what a beautiful way to start with something that is very centered on one's essence, and then starting to explore further. But now with Yellow, I found that Yellow as an album was absolutely beautiful, and I even thought, should I play some Yellow today? But I thought, no, we're going to focus on Nganekwani. But for me, Yellow has a stronger jazz sensibility. You've gone to another plane, I can't say you've changed, but you've certainly given us an extension within Nganekwani.
Yes, well, I think with Yellow the Novel, a lot of it was really self-written and arranged and produced, and I was fresh out of the jazz space as well, and a lot of the compositions were written on piano, and I feel like a lot of my piano compositions give away a very jazz-like sensibility.
Yes.
So I think really it spoke to that a lot more. And I feel with this particular album, there was a lot more collaboration with so many incredible people. Although I wrote a lot of the songs and was a part of the producing and arranging of a lot of songs, I had the amazing world-class musicians. I had Banda Banda helping to produce the album, and just a lot of hands in the project that could give me different perspectives. And I think having done the journey with Yellow the Novel and having self-reflected, it became so clear to me that going into oneself is a never-ending hole.
Yes.
You know, and it's this beautiful journey that we all deserve to take when we give ourselves the chance to, and we realize it's a bottomless journey filled with so many treasures. And for me, identity became so important in this particular journey since the release of Yellow the Novel.
Yes.
It's been 3 years with a lot of personal challenges and growing experiences and really just wanting to know where I come from. I feel a lot of my life involved assimilating into the Western world and a certain way of doing things to get opportunities. But I found it quite necessary to look into the little scars and the little traumas and the little beauties that my life has carried, and to find a way to reclaim a lot of things that are lost to me and are displaced to me about my identity. And I feel having had those conversations through the likes of Abo Mambusi and even through a lot of beautiful conversations with Ubanda, who helped to produce the album and has worked with so many beautiful people who I have drawn experience from,
yes,
who he's actually had personal conversations with and personal journeys and lives with. I think that becomes very clear to the music as well, because I did have a mandate, I did have a certain thing that I wanted to really explore, but having people who have existed in that space longer than I have, I think contributed to the nostalgia of the music and the newness of what it has to contribute as well.
I love that you said that, because that's exactly what I get from this album, is that, you know, and you spoke about, you know, you are a contemporary woman. You have access to the world through, in South Africa, you know, people have this, misconception, but actually, you know, we're living in a modern world. And yet, I love the way you've balanced the deeply rooted with this sense of something very contemporary, because as you say, you come from a generation and you are a modern woman. But at the same time, it's an acknowledgement of those roots. And that's something very special. And I think that's part of what makes your sound have this very unique quality. But you seem to think that, or you seem to have approached this, and I'm not sure if it was the same with Yellow the Novel, or this is kind of become a more refined idea with this one, but there's a great importance on storytelling. So, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about why that is important for you.
I think the idea of storytelling really is a true gift. And for me, what storytelling is literally looking into human life and experiences and journeys and wanting to find the best and the most authentic way, even in my perspective, to tell those stories. I think a lot of Yellow the Novel looked into personal perspective, and I think with this particular album, I was more into the idea of group thinking. Knowing that I still have that personal perspective, but I'm still looking to different parts and experiences that people have had to communicate this messaging. Because really with this album, it is very intentionally to upbuild the black condition.
Yes.
With it being in the spaces that it's been in and the traumas that it's experienced. And it would be completely silly of me to think that that is just a personal thing. But it's also invited me into space of engaging conversation through telling our stories back to us and allowing us to create spaces for each other to continue to tell those stories and to engage and to hopefully find ways to mend a lot of the things that we've been through, and to also take to task our leadership when it comes to making systematic changes, and not just having this fake kumbaya kind
yes,
of
yes.
We are free but we're not, but being in a space of really just taking that space to help us engage all these conversations. And
yes,
I think it's important because it's good for the soul. And it allows us to realize that we're not just making our lives up, but when we hear our lives being spoken back to us, it becomes that much more real. And I think even just with the title of the album, it was important for me to play on the idea of fairy tales.
Yes.
Because the idea of fairy tales is that they teach us lessons, but the characters are not necessarily real. They're usually mythical characters. And I think with the black experience across the board, you would think that we are mythical characters because of the amount of traumas that we've had to carry through time. Yes. And I think even with people crying, listening to the album, it speaks to exactly that. Sometimes you haven't gone through the personal traumas, but because those before you have, it carries through in your bloodline, you know, and those are important things to engage and not to feel crazy about because they are real.
Absolutely. And you said it so beautifully. And again, for me, the concept or the doing of storytelling is what's so important and so needed, and that the kind of credits that we should be giving to those stories, and the timelessness with which these kind of stories can serve is so important. Thank you so much. Let's play another song. This one is Abantu, also a favorite of mine of the album. Tell us a little bit about this one and how it came about.
Ah, I love this song as well, and I'm so glad it speaks to a lot of people. Abantu is really namely my people, Abantu.
Yes, yes.
And it is a song that is really a love letter to black bodies all over the world, whether they are African and within the continent or part of the African diaspora. And it's a song that goes into how it doesn't really acknowledge that systems have oppressed us, but it is implied because a lot of the violences that we commit, even amongst each other, you could kind of cite back to systems that have put us in a place of self-hate, quite frankly.
Yes.
So this song really says, I'm just trying to translate the choruses in my head.
Yeah.
It's basically saying our biggest sin as a people is that we don't realize that we are chosen, and that really the beauty of who we are is realizing how special we are as a people. As much as we have doubts, as much as we are killing each other, as much as we're committing all these atrocities, if we were to realize that we can operate from our higher selves, then we would do away with all these little evils and these big evils that are a part of our existence right now. So that's Abantu.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful message. What a beautiful album. In Ngane Kwani, I'm speaking to Zoe Modiga on The World Show. And here, coming up after this, Abantu.
The World Show with Nikki B.
IFM 95.9. Zoe Modiga, tonight's special guest, the track Abantu, the album Ngane Kwani. You see, it's an absolute gem. I'm just getting so many incredible responses to the songs, to the albums. Zoe, wow. I'm not the only one, you see. Just people.
I'm grateful.
Sir Piso said earlier on, he said, these songs take me to a place I have never been. And Gift is just praising the way that you sing as an African queen. And Intokozo just sent me like 35 yellow hearts. Saying,
yay, you yellow hearts.
Saying nightmare. I had to tell you they were yellow. I'm sure he heard. So absolutely incredible. You know, I'm amazed to find out that you really are a young woman. The maturity of your voice, the maturity of your songwriting, is profound, Zoe, and please just keep doing whatever you are doing to make us feel so blessed by your music. But now and here's some more. I've got to say these. Wele says, such a voice, such longevity, beautiful. But also I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the process of you writing songs. Do you start with the lyrics, or, you know, what is that process, or does the music come first?
I think the songwriting process really takes on a lot of different shapes. There've been a few songs even within this album where I hear it in my head and I have to rush to my voice notes or get a guitar as soon as I possibly can to kind of make or realize them, yes, or download them rather. And sometimes it's a series of words. Sometimes it's a series of chords, and playing those chords evokes the messaging. So one thing that I can say, even in the creative process, is that I don't feel I'm 100% conscious at the time that it's happening.
Yes.
And I usually find it difficult to answer questions around, how did Abantu come to you know? Because I feel I'm not really in complete control of that. And my job is to do away with my ego and my brain and just allow myself to download the file, so to speak.
Yes.
And I think it's a very magical process, and it's a process I enjoy very much. Any minute or moment that I get to have songs come to me, it's always such a magical thing that reminds me how powerful music is, and to be a part of that is special.
Absolutely. It's almost like, you know, I often refer to it as getting out of one's own way. And then, you know, that, if I can call it, channeling comes through, or you get out of the way of yourself, the blockages of your brain with the creative processes. And I think we feel that in this album. What are the reasons that it took 3 years? And you think that, although maybe unexpected, you probably didn't intend it to take 3 years. Was this a blessing in disguise?
You know, I think there's something to say about the power of music and the power of spirit, and that at least in my life, I do not have as much control and planning as I'd like to think. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think between 2017 and 2020, which is this year with the Sophoma album coming out, a lot of life has happened, a lot of lessons have happened, a lot of growing pains, a lot of realizations and awakenings have happened as well. And I don't think I'd be able to make the journey up unless I went through it. I don't think I'd be able to properly document it unless I felt it, unless I felt the resistance of what it means and the beauty of what it means. I think the listeners would be able to tell that it doesn't necessarily come from a real place.
Yes.
And I also think that realizations are not something that happen overnight either. There's a lot of personal conversations that one, it's a process.
Yes.
Personal conversations that one goes to get to a particular destination. And I think that's what the proof of this album is. And even with the timing, I would have never thought there would be a global pandemic happening when this album came out. But I think this global pandemic also reflects a lot of conversations that we are finally willing to have with each other and even in ourselves.
Yes.
And this album speaks a lot to what that is. And we can see a lot of the causes that are happening and the conversations that are happening in the world right now have a lot to do with what's in the album. Could I have planned that? Absolutely not.
Yes.
But my part was to obedient to the messaging that came to me. And even if you look outside of myself and you look at other art practitioners and social scientists, you will see that the messaging is the same, and that there is something that is bubbling under.
Yes.
From different messengers for us to listen to. And I'm only grateful to have done my little part in what that timeline looks like right now.
I'm so pleased you brought that up, because I was going to ask you, I mean, there you were about to release this epic album and suddenly, you know, nobody can go out.
Oh, goodness.
So on one hand, incredible, because the album was complete and it's certainly been a source of healing for myself and I know others. But, you know, on the other hand, it must have been quite unsettling as an artist. She's saying, this is my moment, and you're not the only one I know. This is my moment, and suddenly I've got to rethink my my approach, if you like. But
absolutely.
Yes. So how has it impacted on you, you know, being at home, isolating, you know, being on lockdown just as you've released an album?
Oh, man, I don't even want to lie to you or the listeners listening to the show. It was extremely difficult.
Yes.
And I my transition into this new normal was definitely not gracious.
Yes.
With the release of albums, I think a lot of people are aware that a lot of planning goes into it.
Yes.
And when you release an album, you don't just release a body of work, but you're planning so many ways in which that is rolled out and received by different people.
Exactly.
And that involves tour dates. That involves trying to work into new spaces that you haven't been before. And with us as the Zoe Mudikha brand, we would have been venturing into different markets and trying to represent the African story in different places and awakening people in that way.
Yes.
And that would have been something that is incredible to us. And I'm not going to lie, Nikki, I was heartbroken.
Yes,
and
I'm
for
sure.
A long time, I didn't want to listen to music. I didn't want to create.
Yes.
I just didn't want to hear anything of it.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of personal changes as well.
Yes.
A lot of things that you're able to do, you're not necessarily able to. So all these conversations are coming all at once.
Yes.
But I think after getting past all of that and the true heartbreaking reality of what it is.
Yes.
I just found myself in a space of feeling those feelings. And now I'm in a space of looking into the benefit of what it all is.
Yes.
Slowly starting to create again. And I'm just quite honestly awe-inspired that as human beings, we are able to exist in this time. I don't think we realize just how much push and pull is happening to us in our bodies, in our spirits, in our mental, us as social beings. I know as creators, we need, I'm always talking about human experience because I need humans to experience things for me to create things, you know. So that's been interesting. But I'll tell you, there's been blessings in being able to enjoy this time alone and to experience the ups and downs that go with it and to try and be innovative about how to make this new world for us work.
Yes.
And I've just been trying to honor that as human and as beautifully and as weirdly as it comes. And I found that even just personally, there's been a lot of personal traumas I've had to deal with.
Yes.
Because I didn't have the choice to, because I wasn't running to a gig and trying to put makeup on my face.
Yes.
And trying to be on all the time. So I've had to actually work on myself, and that's definitely been emotionally building, emotionally, spiritually, all the illies building.
Yes.
As
exhausting,
painful as it is as well.
Yes, exhausting and inspiring at the same time, you know.
Exactly.
Yes. Wow, Zoe, absolutely amazing insights that you share, not just through your work, but through your words. Let's play, I want to play two more tracks, because I could have played them all, but this one is Ese Gazini. Tell us about this one.
Oh, I just love this song. You know when everything felt like it was falling apart during this lockdown?
Yes.
When we were mixing and mastering the song, it was my mantra.
Yes.
And I say this completely unapologetically. Isekazini is translated, it is within, it is in my blood. And in the song, I simply say, please listen to me. I have a plan. This is in my blood. It's basically really an extension of Shake the World from Yellow the Novel.
Yes.
And it goes on to say that I'm just here to claim my space because this is within my blood. This is who I am. It's not even me having to try hard, but in honoring myself, I am contributing so beautifully to this reality that is life.
Thank you so much. Zoe Madiga on The World Show. You've got to get the album if you don't have it yet, Ingane Kwani. And this one is a very special, Isegazini.
The World Show with Nikki B.
FM 95.9, if we could bottle this and put it in the water of our country, I think everybody would be healed. Thank you, Zoe Madiga. How absolutely beautiful Isegazini. Her album is Ingane Kwani. Thank you again, Zoe. Wow.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
I'm actually very, very honored to be in a part of this. I think you've been holding space so beautifully for all of us. And I'm excited and I'm happy to have been here with you.
Me too. And I can't wait till you can come into the studio and we can chat again the next time, having you in the studio. Who knows? Maybe even performing Alive and Unplugged. It would be so special. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've got to have hope. You know, we've got to look forward and know that one day I'm going to go to a theater and watch Zoe Modiga perform. I have to believe it will happen in the not too distant future. But in the meanwhile, thank you for your recording. Now, Zoe, I know it is available on digital platforms. Are physical copies available or will they be?
So with regards to the physical copies, we were working on having them available, but obviously, because of the nature of COVID-19, it has put a halt on producing or being able to produce those records physically. But we are definitely working to making sure we put that out there in the near future.
Yes.
Until then, I just encourage everyone to continue to listen to the album on all digital platforms. And as soon as it's out, I'll definitely be the one shouting at the top of a mountain.
Yes, good. Let me know so I can shout it too. Absolutely.
Absolutely, we'll do.
Yes. You know, we're going to end this feature, and it's coming to the end of the show, with Ilanga Lishonile, featuring Banda Banda, of course, who you've already credited today.
Yes.
And I think this is such a lovely song for us to end this talk with. And you know, I want you to talk about the song, but I also wanted to relate it to something that you posted on Twitter yesterday. It was a few days ago, actually. I think I only saw it yesterday.
Yes.
Would you give me permission to read it, Zoe?
I give you all the permission.
I just thought this was so beautifully written and shared. Zoe tweeted, she said, all of the people I looked up to have legacies decorated with plush gardens, but in their lifetime, hardly a single flower. I hope that in my era and many after that, all the special ones will be buried in petals while they walk on this earth. So absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, and I think by taking this song and what can I say, reinterpreting it, recreating it, making it new, you are adding those petals.
Oh, I'm so grateful for that. I think really with having any covers or any songs that are attributed to people who are so important to us, it's just exactly that, giving people their flowers. Yes. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to record Ilanga Lishonile while the great Mama Africa's were still alive, but by mere fact that these kinds of voices are still on our mouths becomes important to our storytelling as well, because we cite not just where we're going, but where we come from. And there would not be a Zoe Mutega if it weren't for your Mambusi Mhlongos, if it weren't for your Oma Sangares, if it weren't for your Rokia Trahores,
yes,
if it weren't for your Bab Credo Mutwas, if it weren't for your Mama Africas.
Yes.
All these people are a sum total of who we are. And I'm grateful to have this song, and hopefully there'll be many songs to tribute all these beautiful creators and spirits that have been with us.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Zoe Modiga. Thank you for joining us on The World Show. And as I say, this is only the first in our chapter, chatting and sharing on The World Show. And thank you for your stories, your sound, and your incredible voice.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Coming up now, Ilanga Lishonile, featuring Banda Banda, of Zoe Modiga's Ingane Kwani.
The World Show with Nikki B.
Every Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m. Kaya FM 95.9.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.